You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to Live and Lead for Impact. This is Kirsten Ross, your host. Thank you so much for being here today. And I have a wonderful guest today. His name is Brian DiNapoli, and you're going to love his story because he is really transitioning some challenges that he's been through into triumphs by serving others. So he's a husband, son, brother, godfather, independent, public servant, Toastmaster, speaker, coach, Georgia Bulldog, who is passionate about telling his story of overcoming bullies and drinking and wants to help you do the same. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to giving you the opportunity to share your story for others. I know we talked, it's been a bit now since we first talked, but I know I was really, inspired by your story and how you've really move through some challenging times and are serving others through it. So let's start by having you talk about what are the life experiences that have motivated you to make an impact in the world?
Well, I'm very close to my mom, and we're kind of like best friends besides my wife. We're very close, and she's always tried to instill a positive attitude, that I have a positive attitude every day. And a few years ago, I told her that I was badly bullied in high school, and she never knew. And she said, you ought to tell your experiences and share it with young people. She wishes I would have told her, but she used the Mother Teresa quotes that do small things with great love. So that's what prompted me to write a story. I'm not a writer, but I started putting some thoughts on paper, and she calls it a simple book with a big story. So I think the stories aren't sensational, but they're relatable. When I was young, I was really small and shy for my age. And this wasn't a problem in an early age, but by the time I was a teenager, it felt like my shyness and size were my greatest faults. So that, all of that, I was bullied, and indirectly that led to a problem with alcohol. So all of those experiences, now I want to, it's been more than 20 years and I haven't had a drop. And
good for you.
My shyness has all but disappeared. But I think just doing small things with great love. And, I heard Oprah Winfrey once say that she was bullied really badly, and she went through challenges, as most people know. And she said that she never would allow someone else to make her feel small again. So I thought about that quote, and until this day, if I feel like I'm wronged, I will try to be more assertive and stick up for myself. But I really want to reach out to young people, and I do speak to school groups and church youth groups and tell my story. And I feel like I always make an impact with at least one person, one young adult, after I give a presentation.
I'm sure you do. And so what's the message that you're giving to young people when you're speaking?
I tell them, to be confident. If you're bullied, to get involved in sports. And I was involved in sports, but I just, being so small and shy, I just wasn't confident enough. I tell them to develop confidence, to be assertive, to believe in themselves, and to, again, never let anyone make you feel small. For me, the bullying, it did lead to this problem with alcohol. And I tell young people that alcohol at an early age can really cloud your judgment. And just, it, to me, it made me into a completely different person. In college, they nicknamed me the Tasmanian Devil, because I really flipped a switch, and I just turned into a person that wasn't me. So I tell them that, don't let your hurts shape your future. Let your hopes shape your future.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So in your message, are you also encouraging them to reach out? Do you give them any strategies if they are being bullied?
I do, absolutely. I give them bullying hotline numbers. I tell them that they should reach out to a teacher. And here in Georgia, there's if a child is bullied or the bully can be transferred to another school, so they should tell their parents. I tell them to tell their brothers. Some schools have, you know, anonymous bully hotlines that you can call, or you know, can even send in text alerts if you're bullied. But I tell them to be assertive, to try to, for me, it always happened, seemed to happen in the lunchroom and, you know, during recess when teachers weren't around. But I tell them to always try to stay near teachers or other people, even if they're shy, you know, try to develop at least one close friend that you can depend on and you can be with, because obviously there's strength in numbers.
I like that. You know, I would not want to be in a school lunchroom these days. I just think it's gotten tougher too. I think back to the days, and especially I think probably middle school was the toughest time to be in that lunchroom.
Absolutely. And for me, elementary school was first through seventh, and then high school was eighth through 12th. So it was such a big jump. And I was relatively popular in elementary school. I was shy, but I had a lot of friends, and I used to win the Best Citizenship of the Year award. But starting high school, it was like the rules really changed overnight. I heard someone say it was almost like taking the hayride to elementary school and then jumping on the bus to prison to high school. And that's really how it felt for me. On Sunday nights would be the worst. I would just toss and turn. I couldn't rest. And it was these two bullies in particular that really tormented me. And I was, and they were bigger kids. They were athletes and very confident, had a lot of friends. The worst thing was the other kids, you know, laughing at me. And that's why I tell others who aren't bullied, who are confident, who are athletes, who are doing well academically, to be an upstander and not a bystander.
Oh, I like that too. And what a, you know, in your school district, that is a huge age difference between the time you're entering high school. I mean, even under normal circumstances, I think a lot of high schools, it's, you know, 9th through 12th. But yeah, it sounds like in your district, there was even a larger gap between youngest and oldest. And it must have been, so that must have been such a painful time in your life.
It was. And yeah, the seniors, they really seemed like grown adults. It was just a huge discrepancy. It really felt like that. But now, fortunately, they do have middle school, which is 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Mm-hmm. Which even that, a young 9th grader to 12th, that's still a big enough gap. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm glad that they have middle school now in your area, or where you went to school. That's good. So what has been your biggest internal or external challenge as you've worked to overcome it and make your impact?
Yeah, I would say, you know, early on when I stopped drinking, you know, fast forwarding to the drinking, just I was 28. I was still relatively young, just trying to fit in with others and have stuff to do because all my friends were still out partying and drinking. And that was a really difficult transition, just going to a concert sober, or I'm a huge Georgia football fan, going to a football game sober. I heard this once too. It's almost like you learn to do things while you're drunk or under the influence. Like I would get out on the dance floor, no problem after drinking. Right. And, you know, going to a concert or screaming and yelling at a football game was easy because all your inhibitions were gone. But not going there sober, I almost had to learn to what to do and how to act. And you know, at first it felt awkward, but then, you know, after a year or two, I felt liberated. I didn't have to worry about the next day getting up and apologizing to everyone and feeling terrible and sleeping till 2 p.m. and just wasting the entire day. So I just started developing more and more confidence where it was easier to go out. And then I just started getting involved with different things. I really love politics and current events and community service. So I started volunteering on local political campaigns and just getting active in the community. I volunteered at a hospital and I still do a lot of volunteer work today, but that really sort of got me out of that. I was in a rut for several years from drinking. It was really, I wasn't fulfilling my full potential. Yeah, by being under the influence. And I heard a singer, John Mayer, said the same thing about 5 years ago. I think he quit drinking and said he looked out the window one day and said he noticed how beautiful everything was. And he was really hungover. And he said he just didn't want to feel that way anymore. He wasn't filling up he wasn't fulfilling his maximum potential. And he said the same thing. At first, it was a little boring. It was hard to transition. But now he's never felt better or more creative.
That's so beautiful, because it is what's on the other side of that. From, you know, I'm not a person in recovery, but I know people who are, and from all of them, that transition time was so tough, but they appreciate so much the clear-headedness that, you know, and the not wasting away so many days hungover and all of that that they experience. I actually heard a speaker recently, and he shared, you know, he said, I didn't reach a bottom. To me, it was a ceiling. And so to your point where, it just felt like you weren't living out to your potential, that was what he felt too. So drinking for him, he was hitting the ceiling where he couldn't be his best self, be a good husband, be a better speaker. You know, he had reached his maximum potential if drinking was going to be a part of his life. And by removing that, now his ceiling was higher and he had a lot more potential and a lot more recaptured.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time, productive time. So how do you stay motivated and moving during tough times?
Yeah, how to stay motivated. I feel like every time I've spoken, I feel like I've made a positive impact. And I try to think of those times, if I feel a little bit down or discouraged, that every time that I have spoken, that I feel like I've helped others. A couple of years ago, I lost my brother, Steve, unexpectedly. I'm the youngest with three older brothers, and I was very close to him. And we spoke that morning. To make a long story short, he had a heart attack while he was jogging at the beach. Thank you, with my niece. And I just really want to keep his fire burning. He always encouraged me to stay positive. And he was a real happy-go-lucky, just free-spirited person. So I try to think of him and to try to keep his light burning. He was a huge sports fan. I'm the same way. I love all sports, especially football and soccer. So he coached soccer for several years. So I started coaching football a couple of years ago, a kicker in football. I meshed soccer and football together. So I try to reach out to others and help others. You know, the number one way to make yourself feel better is to help others. And to be happy for other people's successes. So that's what motivates me during tough times, is to reach out and really try to be a connector and help others really every day that every minute that I can.
That's so great. I love that. And there's so much truth in that when we're serving others, you know, you get you're helping them, but you're also helping yourself, because it's something that feels good. And getting out of your own kind of head is so helpful too, because a lot of times we feel like, wow, what I'm going through is tough, or I life isn't going exactly as I like, or my impact isn't as big as I would like. But then when we hear someone else's story, we realize, my life's okay. And I love that you're keeping track of your successes. I have so often asked people to do that as a way to, keep that tenacity, not just what happened, but how did it feel? When you were able to help someone, were able to make that impact, and knowing that you are, even though it might not be the impact that you want, as big as you want, you're moving in the right direction and you are making impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I love quotes. And Winston Churchill once said, success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And being a sports fan, I have to bring up Tiger Woods. What he did yesterday was incredible, probably one of the greatest sports comebacks of all time.
Yeah,
to be ranked 200 two or three years ago, and I read a book about him about a year ago, and he couldn't even walk 5 years ago. So to where he was with four surgeries and all the personal stuff that went on to come back and be resilient like that, hopefully that will inspire millions of people to do the same.
Yes, I think that is going to turn into an amazing story that's shared over and over already. It's everywhere. People feeling inspired and celebrating him. That is
absolutely
a huge achievement. Yeah. So what words of wisdom do you have for others who want to make an impact, who maybe are just getting started or thinking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like I said, I always try to help others. There's another quote by a football coach. He always said, always do your best, do the right thing, and show people you care. So, you know, I think those three things, if you try to do those three things every day, and also the world is bigger than your block, to get out of your comfort zone, to try new things, and just to be with people and try to help people that aren't like you, because we tend to get in groups and, you know, shun others that aren't like us, but you can grow so much more just learning about others and getting involved. And I always try to be involved in different things. I mentioned I'm more of an independent. I try to help an organization called No Labels to increase bipartisanship in Congress and throughout politics. So that's something I do, you know, coaching, and try to reach out and talk to young people about my experiences as much as I can. That those are some things, and just have some other goals down the road that I want to do to help others.
That's great. Actually, I'll have that link too on the show notes for today too. We'll put the No Labels link. Boy, if I know you and I spoke, you know, a while ago, like I said, and that was one of the topics we covered, the divisiveness that's happening in our country right now. And I love that you're working towards trying to bring people together. We are more similar than we realize when we only focus on our differences.
Absolutely.
And we are better together than them separated and feeling angry and hateful towards others just because we don't understand. So thank you so much for sharing your story. I need to ask, what's the title of your book?
It's called Walk On, Rising Above Bullies and Binge Drinking.
Okay. Great. So Walk On, Rising Above Bullies and Binge Drinking?
Yes.
Perfect. And where can they get that?
It's on Amazon. Okay. It is available on Amazon, or there's a link through my website, briandinapoli.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I love what you're up to. It is such important work. All the different things that you're up to. I know we were mostly talking about the bullying part, but I love that you're also working with No Labels and trying to bring people together and the bipartisanship that's happening. So I encourage everyone to reach out to Brian or go visit his website, briandinapoli.com. That will be on the show notes for today's episode. So to find that, go to defeatthedrama.com. Click on the podcast tab, and then today is episode 149. I will have a link to his website, briandinapoli.com. I'll have the title of his book, which is Walk On. Oh, what is it again?
Walk On, Rising Above Bullies and Binge Drinking.
Perfect. I will have that at the link, and also the link to No Labels will be there as well. So thank you so much for joining me, and everyone, get out there and make your own impact in the world. The world needs your impact, and make it a great day.